Welcome to the weekly podcast from Christ Community Church. If you would like more information about this podcast or Christ Community Church, please visit our webpage at www.gochristcommunity.com. Blessings and enjoy the sermon.
Many of you know me as Bethany's husband. Bethany's my wife of 8 years. If you don't know her, she was just up here singing on the stage, leading a wonderful worship this morning, or assisting Seth as well, and Sarah. They did an amazing job this morning. I have two children, Coraline. If you don't know who she is, look for the longest braid on the littlest girl, and that's Coraline. If I have a son named Orion. He's 3. If you want to know who he is, after service, look under the tables. He'll be the one brushing your knees, spinning around the tables. As many of you know, I am a wildland firefighter, and I have been in this line of work for 18, 19 seasons now, which is a very long time. It is a job that I am blessed in that I get to serve the public at large. I would love to say that it's a bunch of Christian men going out, working their butts off to serve the community. Sadly, it's not. Let's see if that helps. That's a little bit better. Okay. No, it's not. There we go. So for those of you that aren't familiar with what wildland fire is, it's effectively forest fires, right? I think most people in Nevada at this point know what a wildland fire is. It is a paramilitary group, effectively. We run very similar to fire departments, the Army. We have our own subset of leaders all the way up in the chain of command. Myself, I'm trying to not blow you guys out. Am I hearing it wrong?
You're okay.
Okay, we're good. Okay. Apparently when you hear it in your head at the same time, and you have tinnitus, creates an interesting echo. So the bulk of, or most recent, I have recently changed positions within the fire service. I have been a leader off and on, not off and on, more on at this point, within the fire group, as a crew boss, running a 20-man hand crew. For those of you that don't know, there's varying levels. There's engines, which I've done, not my favorite. Helicopter, come to find out, flying's great, but I don't like to do it. And I really have found myself always back on the hand crew. That just happens to be my niche within the fire community. And it takes a certain personality to withstand 19 guys for 16 hours a day in harsh conditions for 14 days straight, and then to be able to lead them and be effective. So they teach us that. In fire, we have many, many leadership classes. And if you go out on the internet, you can find volumes and volumes and volumes of things on leadership. And what's kind of sad about that is leadership has somewhat been hijacked. And I say it's been hijacked because they're not new ideas. We're going to get into some basic concept of leadership. We're going to run it back to the Bible. And it's going to kind of show folks, hopefully, that these certainly are not new ideas. They're just repackaged, hijacked, and when I say hijacked, they're hijacked by the evil one, to make it about the self. It's very easy as a leader to say, this has become about me. Look at what I have done. So, uh, So that's what we're going to kind of go through. And I have, it's not just identifying. I do have some implementation things. Because let me ask you this. Do you guys see yourselves as leaders? I've seen circular heads. So that means yes and no. As Christ followers, and we're going to dive into this quite a bit more, we should view ourselves as leaders. We've been called to task. So we'll definitely talk quite a bit about that. A second question I'd like to ask folks is, I want you to go back in your mind. For some of us, it's short. For some of us, it's long. But think about those leaders that really, really impacted you. What were their characteristics and traits? So, adding to that, how did some of those leaders and mentors create buy-in? And I'll explain what buy-in is in a minute, if you don't know. So where can we apply these leadership? Where do we see them? We see it in our day-to-day lives, job, family, team sports, community groups, church. So with that, we'll kind of jump into it here. Next slide. So this is, as I said, I will say it, it's hijacked material by the federal government, but I work for the federal government, so this is the fun part of my job, right? So the image here is human factors in the wild-land interface. What I do like about this is, as I started looking at these leadership classes, boy, that, just like it says up there, we are fallen. This is all failures based on the fact that we are fallen. Everything that is listed in that picture, our situational awareness, we no longer, our ears are closed, our eyes are closed. Our communication, we struggle to talk to one another. Our stress, our attitude, all impacted. So those are our human factors, right? Okay, next slide. Communication. We're going to start with the big one. Number one most effective tool in leadership. If you can't communicate, you're going to struggle. So it's the most important and it's the hardest to achieve. So why is this so important? It's not just to get someone to do something. That is part of it. As a leader, we have objectives and we need people to just go and do. But we need to do it in a way that creates buy-in. I asked that question already. If you don't know what buy-in is, it's creating ownership in an idea. Without buy-in, your group that you're leading, they're not going to put any effort in. So just not buy-in, but it gives a voice. So nobody likes a leader or follows a leader that doesn't listen. You will get more pushback. So I've got a great example out of the Bible of this one. Pharaoh, very strong leader, right? Does not listen to Moses. Refuses to listen to Moses. What would have happened had he? He would have not been smited, right? Maybe he still would have, but not as harshly. But that to me is just if you can't listen to your group. Look out. So why is communication so difficult? So you have to know how to talk at different levels. And I'm going to use Jesus as an example again with the parables. He could have gone straight scripture and to talk to people, but he didn't. He broke it down to a story that they could understand. And so that is a key part of that communication block. Another issue that we struggle with, especially in the technological age, is our verbal and our nonverbal, what our body's telling the other person, they don't match. So you're getting a yes when you're saying no. It's confusing. So what we can do is really focus in on that. Some other difficulties is just different terminology. Even in my 40 years, the terminology's changed. Subject matter experts versus the layman, you got to figure out how to break it down. Another struggle we have that I feel is cultural, we don't use direct statements anymore. We kind of beat around the bush. We don't say what we need out of somebody. All right, with that, we'll jump a little bit further into communication on the next slide here. Language. Now, I'm not talking foreign languages. Put a little true-false question up here. Is it appropriate to curse at people? Yes, he says. Interesting, and I'm guilty of it. I'll try to keep this story short because my stories can get long-winded. So I want to preface this with, when I hear a leader, a very well-respected leader, curse, it is like nails on a chalkboard to me. Absolutely. And the reason being is it just doesn't, it adds zero value to that conversation. Zero value. It's a waste of space, effectively. So an example of that kind of builds off of cursing and is the shouting. Is shouting at somebody appropriate? Does it help get your point across? Maybe. I'm still very guilty of this one, especially if somebody does a major safety violation. I can't help myself. Anger floats to the top because I don't want to see my guys hurt or anybody else hurt by their actions. That one tends to still boil my blood. We're all works in the process, right? So one day, I had a trainee, and we were about 12 days in on an assignment. For those of you that don't know, I leave for 14 days at a time, and it's a unique challenge, as I mentioned, and I had a trainee, day 12. I walk around the corner of the truck, and he is laying into a young gentleman, probably 22 years old, up one side, down the other, and back again. Just ripped him to shreds because he had very low performance that day. And to this point, had been one of our best, if not top, performers. However, I had noticed this already earlier in the day. Teaching, I let people fail. Probably should have caught this one earlier, but I didn't. Popped around the truck, interrupted it, pulled my trainee aside. I said, "What are you doing?" He failed. I said, "In this moment, you are failing." He's like, "Well, you told me I need to be upfront and direct and tell these people what I want." It's true. But if you see a characteristic change in a day, that light bulb should go off. So that individual, come to find out, I sat down with him at lunch because we happened to be in cell service, which is a rarity. And I saw cell phone go into the brush. Oh, that's unusual and expensive. So I went and I sat down with him. Come to find out, his wife and his daughter had moved out of his apartment that morning. So if that trainee had stopped to ask, instead of jumping the gun to shout, he probably would have cut him a little bit of slack. And that's important. Knowing your people is vitally important. So, next slide, please. Colossians 3:8 breaks this element of leadership down. "But now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips." How do we change this? How do we get rid of this language? Because it's not easy. It took me years to trim this one out, because I was probably one of the top sailors out there. And then I met my wife. That was a big help. But some of the other things that I did with her help was I just started trimming them out of my daily vocabulary. It wasn't all at once, just some thought started going into what I was saying. And the interesting thing that happened with this is because I was cutting out those words and think about what I was saying, the intent and the anger started to drop out of my words. Some prayerful consideration for self-control. We're definitely going to take a good look at that. Daily Bible reading helps with this. And believe it or not, as you trim out that bad language, people take notice. It didn't take very long before my crew noticed, and all of a sudden the side conversations, the language was dropping out, the bad language. So effective leadership does start at the top. You want a group to be cohesive? Be the example. Another way we can look at fixing this is to just change gears mentally. Take a different approach. Become the mentor, the teacher. Because sometimes people just don't know what they don't know. I remember being shouted at in my earlier career, and the person just shouting me down, turning and walking away, and thinking, "Well, how do I do that? How do I fix this?" And then I found myself doing it because that's what I was brought up in. And I had a mentor open my eyes to, you can't do that to these people. You will not effectively lead them. And so I started working with them. I would stop in that moment, and I'd break down the situation and create a path or a plan to help bring that person along, right? So Proverbs 19:11 tells us, good sense makes one slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook an offense. And I put both versions up, or two different versions up here, because this time it's not about glorifying him. It's about bringing, not glory to you, but it's recognition that slow to anger, that's going to generate leadership. All right, next slide, please. Okay, so what are some barriers that we face? Lack of information, lack of experience, or just inexperience, stress and fatigue, and attitudes. And the interesting about these is if you look at these as person to person, and then you start looking at your relationship with God, many of the things that separate us from one another are the same identical things that separate us from God. Example, lack of information. You're not in the Word enough. Lack of information, right? Lack of experience. Maybe you're new to a church. Okay, we're singing. Great, this is fun. Now everybody's hands are going up. And I'm starting to feel uncomfortable. New experiences, right? Again, stress and fatigue. Boy, being tired will put us on edge with the most closest person in our lives, right? And attitudes, and that's just a different mindset. I'm not going to have a bad attitude anymore. Okay. So we separate ourselves from God. Next slide, please. How can we get past these barriers? And it's right in the middle of a leadership piece, right? Number 7 there highlighted. Casting all anxieties on him. If you haven't ever read Shepherd the Flock, it's a good read. I'm not going to read it to you. So we'll jump to the next slide. So cast your anxieties onto him, and that's going to help alleviate those barriers. Here's another hijacked leadership. And it's not to dispel what the government is teaching out there. It tends to turn into self a little too much. All right. Are leaders born or made? You can go rounds with people on this one, and have. The most valuable officer in a regiment is the sergeant. The true sergeant is born, not made, a priceless gift from the gods. U.S. Army Colonel, 1911. U.S. Army General, 1954, states, the one quality that can be developed by studious reflections and practice is leadership. So, two very different schools of thought, right? What's the answer to this one? It's both. It is, in fact, both. Being Christians, God gives us our gifts, right? He gives us our gifts. But we have the ability to develop these gifts. And we have the job to develop these gifts. All right. Romans 11:29, for God's gift and his call are irrevocable. We are all called to it. And we do. We have this ability to develop our skills, and that's through character. Next slide. So characteristic values of a leader to develop. Duty, respect, and integrity. This is all over the wildland fire community. It is listed in at least, and this is a ballpark number, it's a very high number, approximately 85% of our printed material that we receive lists duty, respect, and integrity, because we are public servants. Next slide. So What is duty? Accomplish the drive to accomplish the mission. And this is straight out of that L280 book. And I'll show you how the Bible's going to back it up here in a second. Seek and accept the duty to lead. Be proficient in the job, both technically and as a leader. Make sound and timely decisions. Ensure that tasks are understood, supervised, and accomplished. Commit yourself to developing the competence of every team member. Bring them up. Develop them. Developing them is developing you. So, still related on duty, the Bible gives us many missions, right? First one being believe in the Father and accept Jesus. It's probably the number one priority, right? The second mission that we should all have a sense of duty on is to spread the word by answering the call that God places on us. Because it's not just evangelism. You can reach somebody and not even know it. Not even know it. Okay, next slide. Respect. Taking care of people. If you take care of them, they'll take care of you. Respect for the individual forms the basis for the rule of law in America. Know your own people and look out for their well-being. Keep people informed and work at building the team. Employ people in accordance with their capabilities. Never forget that those who follow you are your greatest resource. So, next slide. This is just three of many verses out of the Bible on respect. Luke 14:10 tells us, "But when you are invited, go and sit in the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, 'Friend, move up higher.' Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at table with you." Hebrews 13:7, "Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith." Titus 2:7-8, "Show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works, and in your teaching show integrity, dignity, and sound speech that cannot be condemned, so that an opponent may be put to shame, having nothing evil to say about us." So Titus 2:7-8 directly states our next critical element, integrity. Next slide. So I think this is a mischaracterization on integrity. It says developing yourself. Integrity is more than that, but we'll continue on. "You cannot be in charge of others unless you are in charge of yourself. Know your own strengths and weaknesses and commit yourself to continuous improvement. Seek out responsibility and accept responsibility for your own actions. Set the example for others. Show optimism and encourage others. Even when facing setbacks, demonstrate your moral courage by adhering to high ethical standards, thereby building trust in your team and gaining the respect of your peers." I'm going to kick it back to the Bible. If we're in the Bible, that moral standard, that sense of integrity, should be pretty high. So as a leader, you want to really boil this one down to make that direct statement I talked about. As a leader, walk the walk. Don't just simply be lip service. All right, so those are the characteristics. Let's look at the next slide. We're going to get into some decision making. So this is not job or situational specific. There are many factors. Many factors make decision making difficult. Friction, so ill-defined assignments, extreme work environment, time compression. Just real quick, show hands and make sure everybody's awake. So by nature, I'm a teacher, and so I do that. I apologize. I'll apologize for that one. But show of hands, how many people constantly feel under a time compression? It's pretty common, right? Pretty common. Uncertainty, so having incomplete information. Fluidity, rapidly changing situations. Complexity, there's a lot of players involved. And human factors, again, that danger and fear is not physical, it's internal. That fear is what we get hung up on. Let's swing back to uncertainty. Leaders are often faced with incomplete information, particularly in wildland fire, but I'm sure I'm not alone out there. We don't typically know what's around the next corner because we haven't been there yet. Maybe we've seen it from a distance. We usually have a heads up on the weather, but again, when was the last time the weatherman told it to you 100% straight for more than an hour, right? And so as leaders, we're often forced to make decisions based on limited information. And yet, and I'll ask this first. How many people feel like they've had a leader that just is, they just seem lucky? Like, man, I see why he's a leader. He should go bet on black every day. He'd be a millionaire and not have to work. They're not lucky. They're opportunistic. They don't let an opportunity pass them by. That's why they seem lucky. They up their statistics, and they don't hang on their failures. So I do operate in this realm. I do have some rules to it because of the nature of the danger of the job. And these rules work for me. My first rule is if I can pass this, we're good. That's no broken bones, no bent metal. Nobody's getting hurt. We're not damaging equipment. Those are fairly basic, right? Those align with due to respect, integrity. We're not out to hurt anybody, regardless of our job, our families, communities, whatever. If you're still not sure, okay, I'm not going to bend metal, I'm not going to get anybody hurt, but I'm still not sure that this is a good decision, pray about it. Next slide, please. Ephesians 5:15 through 17 tells us, be very careful then how you live, not an unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. How do you know what the Lord's will is in that moment? So think about it this way. I'll use myself as the example. I've stood there and I need three radios around me because I'm not catching all the traffic that's going on. And people, it's just super busy. Things are going everywhere. The fire's blowing up. I've got crew members spread across the last mile of distance trying to hold what we got. And now I'm faced with a decision. My decision point is my people are spread thin. This morning in briefing, they told me they have a crew coming in at some point today to back us up. My decision that I have to choose quickly, because if I don't, the fire is going to move past the point at which I can catch it. I have an opportunity to strike now, but I have to be careful. Because now I'm spread thin. in a very rapidly dynamic, dangerous situation. So prayer, in that moment, I can't run, unfortunately, can't run and grab my Bible. But in that moment, I'll stop and pray. Let's go to the next slide. So this is the decision cycle. If you Google this, you'll get a billion of them. I don't plan on focusing on this. The one thing I will focus on is the option selection. I refer to it as the time wedge. Next slide, please. Okay, next slide. Oh, there it is. Perfect. So, the time wedge. Time is always against us, seems that way, doesn't it? So now the clock is always racing. As the clock goes on, not just in dynamic situations like wildland fire, but in all day-to-day situations, as time goes on, our number of options decreases. It rarely, rarely increases. Doctors, nurses probably shake their heads in agreement at this. They get a patient in, and the clock has already been running. They're behind the power curve because that person waited for whatever reason to come in and see a doctor, right? So now we hit a point where it's decision time. We're out of time. We are out of decisions. We are left with one thing to do, and that's pray for the Hail Mary in the end zone, right? Let's hope this works. I propose to you that you take that prayer point from where I have it here, where most people end up with it because it's out of desperation, and you pull that back to the front, and you lead at the start with prayer. Lead your decisions with prayer. Oftentimes, just stopping and talking to God. He's going to give you the confidence to lean on the experience he's provided you with and the mental clarity when everything's going on, the world's screaming at you, to stop in that moment and make a wise decision. So the interesting thing about prayer, quick story. I was part of Cars Ministry back when I lived in Illinois. Cars Ministry is kind of how it sounds. Those that can't afford to get cars repairs done, this church had a program, which is pretty cool, that they helped them fix their vehicle. A local garage opened up his doors, and people couldn't afford it, single moms. There's very strict criteria in which we would work on your vehicle. But I was blessed to be part of that ministry. And we had 3 or 4 cars to do in one night. We only ever gathered once a month for one night at 6 o'clock in the shop. And we had about 4 cars stacked up that were major issues. And every time, it was one of those nights where no matter what we did, we just were constantly faced with issues. Bolts wouldn't move. They're rusted in place. We had one, just all of a sudden notice the fuel lines rusted through and about to leak. And it was just constant issue after issue. And our leader stopped. He said, all right, it's now 9:30 at night, and we still have a pretty hefty workload in front of us. He said, all right, everybody stop. Whatever you're doing, pray about what you're doing right now. Don't go big, get specific. And I thought that was interesting because I had been working on this bolt. My fear was that I was going to break the head off. I was going to have to drill it out, and now I have to retap the hole, find a bolt that fits. And so I did. I stopped in that moment, and sure enough, what happens? Bolt breaks loose. Didn't break. It broke loose and spun out. It was a very small and specific prayer. Next slide, please. So there's no prayer that is too big or too small. Psalms 19 or 119, 105 tells us, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. When time is short and information is limited, rely on God to help make good, sound decisions. Next slide, please. So this one I did throw up there, and as I mentioned before, it is hijacked material. And what I would like to preface this as is I did put this up there because it does have all the same characteristics that God wants us to have. Don't be the victim, right? If you're unaware, things happen to you. Like bad things. Man, I'm always in a bad spot. Things happen to you. Why? You're unaware. You're blaming others. You're making excuses. You're waiting and hoping. The pendulum starts to swing at wait and hope. Sometimes you have to wait, hope, and pray, right? Start to acknowledge reality. This is out of my control, and I need God right now. In this moment, He will help you find a solution. He's going to leave it to you to make it happen, though. He will open the doors for you. You just have to listen, be prayerful, and walk through them. So it does say things happen because of you, but things happen because of you when you're in the Word and you're in prayer. Next slide, please. I threw this one in. I couldn't help myself. It has nothing to do with what I talked about today. Zero. But what I do like is this is actually a great example of the Trinity. So what we have in Wild on Fire is the fire triangle. Fire, one item, right? Nope. Much like the Trinity. In fire, we have oxygen, fuel, and heat. You take any one of those away, and you don't have fire. That's why I love this example of the Trinity. Because if you take away the Father, you don't have God, right? That one's straightforward. Take away the Son. The center ceases to exist. The whole is gone. Take away the Holy Spirit. The center ceases to exist and is gone. Same with the fire triangle. Sorry, as I said, I couldn't help myself. I really like that one. God and the challenges he puts before us will continuously change our leadership. It may not change overnight, but it will continue to shape and mold us as long as we keep to His word. And with that, we'll close in prayer. Lord, thank you for giving us purpose, for giving us a call. Lord, guide us as leaders in that call to develop and identify how to become efficient in what we do and to help others along. Because, Lord, we all have buy-in. We have buy-in to you, your Son, and our Spirit that dwells within us. Lord, we know that you can take all the language, the bad language that happens in our lives, and start with us and watch it spread. Watch it just disappear so that the focus can be on the purpose. And that's you, Lord. Lord, just be with us as we work on our character, our integrity, our duty, our respect. Strengthen those in us so that we may become stronger in our decision making. And that, Lord, when we don't have the decision in front of us, that we turn to you. And we pray all of these things through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Welcome to the weekly podcast from Christ Community Church. If you would like more information about this podcast or Christ Community Church, please visit our webpage at www.gochristcommunity.com. Blessings and enjoy the sermon.